This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All I'm saying is, as a society, we missed an opportunity to have the upside-down logo represent that your franchise is in distress.
Culturally,
now those hats are cool,
yeah.
As opposed to, listen, I like this team, and I know things are pretty messed up right now. I'm not happy about it.
It's the new paper bag over your head. Show up to a game with a jersey where the Sabre logo is rotated 90 degrees. You just have one ready to go, so if you're mad at them that day when you wake up, like, they lost yesterday, I'm going to wear the upside-down hat.
Here's our billion-dollar idea, Joe. There's a little thing in the back, and you can undo it and rotate it around and put it back on to represent every day how you feel about the team that you're wearing the hat for.
Here, it's a billion-dollar idea.
We are.
There.
Shut down the stream. We're done. We're out of here. We're retiring on this idea now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, we've had the shorts report, which I assume all passing grades today, right? No, nobody's wearing shorts. What about the jacket report? You wearing a jacket today?
I shifted to a vest.
Okay, see, like I wasn't prepared for an immediate turn here to, is a vest a jacket? I did not wear a jacket. Didn't wear a jacket. Just a sweatshirt. It's fine out. It feels like today's 65. Don't quote me on that.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
That's my feels like. My feels like is it is 65 degrees outside. It is probably, what, 42? Something like that. I'm not even sure. It's probably something in the 40s. It's 90 degrees in this room right now, but it's 42 degrees
36.
Outside. 36?
That's what my phone says anyway.
36 degrees.
And the feels like?
65.
37.
That's, see, I don't even, how is that possible?
I don't know.
How does it feel colder than it is out? Again, this is just the reaction to, it's been 5 degrees for 3 months, and now that it's anything warmer than that, it feels warmer than it actually is. Good morning, it is Jeremy and Joe here on a Thursday morning. The combine today, and today I believe we get workouts. Like, we get 40 times starting today and then into tomorrow and into Monday maybe is where it goes. So for the defensive linemen, the linebackers, and the kickers, do they have the kickers run the 40? Or the shuttle drill? They probably just kick field goals, right? Is that all they need to do? Maybe in kickoffs? Today is on-field workouts for defensive linemen and linebackers. And for on-field workouts, then you've got tomorrow, defensive backs and tight ends. Day after that, which will be Saturday, running backs, wide receivers, and wide out and wide receivers. And then on Sunday, you have offensive linemen. But today's the position that we've spent the most time on, we probably will spend the most time on, until the NFL draft and the beginning of the season. I just wonder how much of today and all these days leading up to the end of April when they finally pick, how much of all of this is just thinking about Kansas City, Because I'm sensing that we've kind of gone away from that in the last month since the Bills lost in Arrowhead. Because the day after, the week after the season ended, for me, I know a lot of it was, hey, this is it. You're getting by everybody else except for Cincinnati, but they're not even in your hair right now. This is just them. It's just Kansas City. And maybe, I don't know, just the Philly game and what that did to psyches about this matchup and what you would do, you know, when if you played them again, what you would want to have different. The pass rush, of course, has immediately come up. Are we thinking specifically about what they do and how it relates to beating Kansas City still? Because I am still very much thinking that way. So when the defensive linemen run today, that's for me what it's about. It's the defensive linemen and learning more about these guys. Kenneth Grant, this monster from Michigan, who is probably going to be gone by the time the Bills get there, but maybe not. Maybe they would want to trade up. He said yesterday that he has met with the Bills, or he's met with Sean McDermott, spoken to Sean McDermott. So, you know, there's already some connection that's been made there between the two. He is, by the way, 6'3", 342 pounds. And by most of what I've read about him, he's an athlete. Like, he might be a guy that kind of wows today. NFC area scout on Kenneth Grant. 342 pounds, 6'3", defensive tackle from Michigan. NFC area scout. He was a little inconsistent on tape, but he's going to be a freaky tester, and guys with that size and those numbers are really hard to find. That's one scout on this Kenneth Grant. And he's only one of, you know, he's one of many. It's a deep class at the position. We'll start learning more and more about the names, and that'll happen today. And, you know, Chris Trapasso will be on the show and on the station. I know he was on yesterday with Chopin the Bulldog. Like, this is the finding out season about these guys. For me, that really officially begins today and then rolls through the next 2 months. But every player that I have a thought about or see becomes available. Yesterday it was Harold Landry, the defensive end from the Titans. If it's Miles Garrett, if it's not really hearing much about Max Crosby, I guess anymore. Any of these guys, it's going to be though about what does that do to help me beat Kansas City? I got one thing specifically now from the Eagles that shows me, hey, this is one way to do it, and we did it well. And I need to be able to beat them like that. I need to be able to beat them bad, because I'm not going to ever trust the Bills in a close game against Kansas City. What I would trust them in is a game where they win by a lot, like Philly just did. 803-0550 is the phone number. There's also quarterback news from around the league in the last couple of days. I think this is a really hard offseason right now to predict on the quarterback front. Honestly. I mean, how many teams right now would it be fair to say you just don't have a clue what it's going to be? Or you don't have even a great guess? Yeah, you might have a guess, but the Jets right now, I don't know. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Whisperers, was on with Bulldog and Nate last week, and they asked him about quarterback, and the first name he said was a fifth-round rookie from last year, Jordan Travis. Like, oh, maybe that guy. What? That's the first name? Tyrod's been mentioned for the Jets. That's one team that just, okay, no clue. The Browns, that's probably a rookie, but actually I had an interesting trade idea for the Browns yesterday where they kind of offer the Rams the Goff trade. They just, hey, Rams, you want to make that same trade, but you want to reverse it? Do you want to be the team that takes on the bad quarterback contract? Goff ended up not being a bad quarterback contract. But do you want to take the bad quarterback contract and give us your starter and we'll give you extra draft compensation for it? Like, how bad of a deal does it sound for the Browns to send the third overall pick for Matt Stafford, but they also send Deshaun Watson? Is that that bad? Isn't that kind of the Goff trade in reverse? It's, hey, we're getting your starter, who is at an advanced age, so we're not going to be doing this for very long with him, but hey, maybe they're trying to convince Myles Garrett. That seems to be what they're doing right now, trying to convince him to stay. Now, right now, they're trying to do it with money. But Garrett has made it clear, I only want to be on a team that has a chance to win big. I want to be on a contender. So if you're the Browns, your way to convince Myles Garrett to stay and go Canton to Cleveland to Canton, as the GM said, the only way to do that is to prove to him that you've got an ability to contend this year. And the only way I feel like that happens if you're Cleveland, considering the quarterback opportunities available to you, that would be sellable to Garrett. Because you could sell him on Cam Ward, and maybe that would even work. Cam Ward, in year one, rookie quarterback out of Miami, just shows up and does the Jaden Daniels. He's just great right away. He does what CJ Stroud did 2 years ago. He's great right away. Is that going to be easy to sell Garrett on, though? Like, Stafford is proven and was good last year and almost beat the Eagles in the playoffs, throwing no-look passes. That one, though, again, like, that's a tough one because you've got to get the Rams to take the Watson contract. And the only way I bet they would even think about that is if you were willing to trade the third overall pick. So maybe that idea right there is dead in the water on arrival. So that's two. Pittsburgh, you've got no idea. Is that Fields right now? But I don't know about Pittsburgh. So three. Indianapolis said yesterday that they plan to have an open competition between Anthony Richardson and an unnamed second quarterback. They don't even know who the other guy is yet. They just know, oh, whoever he is, he's going to be competing with Anthony Richardson. I still might want to bet that Richardson is the starting quarterback. How good is that competition going to be? You know, is that going to be bringing Gardner Minshew back? Or is that going to be Kirk Cousins, or somebody even higher level than that? I don't think there's a guy that competes with Richardson enough to where they wouldn't try that one more time. But, hey, I'll count that. They said open competition, and we don't even know who the other guy is right now. So I think it's fair to say right now you don't know who the Colts week one starter is. That's four. You could say the Titans are five with Will Levis. They have the first pick. They could just draft Cam Ward. They also could just draft Travis Hunter, and then are they signing Sam Darnold? Are they doing something else? Are they like a Russell Wilson team? Five teams you don't know the week one starter of sitting here today. Add the Raiders to that list. Okay, let me deviate from this for a moment to get to the Raiders, because I was thinking a lot about quarterbacks this morning, and the Raiders are one of them. They'd be the sixth team I would count here as not knowing who the week one starter is. Brady. Tom Brady. This supposed run-in in Montana. A ski resort in Montana that Ian Rappaport and plenty of other reporters detailed yesterday. Running into Matthew Stafford. Just happened to run into him on a ski resort in Montana. Okay, like, I think this is, I'm only half kidding when I say this. This is just Brady not knowing when he is stepping over the line or not caring or knowing willingly and just doing it anyway. That also is if there's going to be a timeline thing here that I wonder if the Rams make a stink of this. I kind of hope they do. Tom Brady. Here's a fact about Tom Brady for you that you can take to work today. Tom Brady has been involved in every first-round pick punishment that the NFL has ever handed down. There have only been three times in NFL history that I read that the league has punished a team by taking their first-round pick. All three times Tom Brady was involved, or was at least there. The first one was Spygate. That's his team. It's the Patriots. The second one is Deflategate, which he got suspended also for. And the third one is when the Miami Dolphins got themselves a first-round pick taken away because they tampered with Tom Brady in free agency. So, guy who's been involved in all of those, is the reason it's being reported the way it is because he got to Stafford before Stafford was given permission to talk to other teams? Because if that's true, the Rams could kind of make a deal of this, make a stink of it. Like, hey, this guy wants to leave, and before we had those discussions with him, before we gave him permission, this guy over here, who is the part owner and currently running another NFL franchise, just happened to meet with him, and now he wants to be traded. Huh. Let Tom Brady get in trouble again. Please let that happen. It'd be so great. And by the way, the reason I say that it's being reported weirdly is there was a rumor about it, and then, man, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport so aggressively needing everyone to know that, oh no, it wasn't a big deal, guys. Rappaport. Tom Brady and Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana. The meeting, unplanned, sorry, we're already making sure everyone knows it was unplanned, was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady, quote, hosting or, quote, recruiting Stafford, despite reports saying otherwise. Right? I think the only reason Rappaport's putting that those details, those specifics out there is because Brady or someone on Brady's team or the Raiders, whoever, is asking him or telling him that so they can get out ahead of it. Like, no, guys, we didn't do anything wrong here. Just make sure everyone knows we didn't do anything wrong. Don't look over here. Nothing fishy going on. I think something fishy happened there. So anyways, the Raiders, no clue. Six. It's a lot of teams. The Giants, seven. They are the team that I think wants Stafford the most. Will they beat the Raiders out for him? Will the Rams hold on to him? So seven. And then anyone else in the NFC? Minnesota. That's probably just J.J. McCarthy, though, right? But he's coming off a torn meniscus surgery that had a complication, so maybe there's an injury question there. And then Sam Darnold is probably gone, but is he for sure gone? Is there a bridge quarterback there? I'll count Minnesota. That's eight. Now I might be done. No, finally, the Rams. Nine. The Rams, there was all this Brady-Stafford smoke yesterday. There's the Giants wanting Stafford. And a lot of the noise and the fact that there is so much, like these sports updates that we do in the mornings have been just like a daily Matthew Stafford report. Because he's kind of, you know, he's the number one most interesting figure, I think, in the offseason. Quarterbacks usually are. He's the best one that's available. All right, what's going on with Matt Stafford? Are they going to trade him? There was a story from Jordan Renan, that covers the Giants for ESPN, that there is a belief that he's just going to stay on the Rams. That this is just an exercise in, hey, go see what the market tells you you're worth, and then come back to us, and then we'll work out a deal. That is kind of what his implication was of what happens with Stafford, but I don't know. It's not unbelievable to think he's just going to get traded for how aggressive some of these teams seem to be, the Giants and the Raiders specifically, about getting him. And if they do that, the Rams and Darnold are the team that's the match, right? That's the match. If they are going to move on from Stafford, why are they doing that? Because they still should think that they can contend. They almost beat the Eagles last year. The team that the Chiefs couldn't hang with, that the Commanders couldn't hang with in the playoffs, the team that ran through the regular season. Like the Rams almost beat them. That was a one-score game that came down to the very end in the snow, turning the ball over. Stafford throws for over 300 yards, and this is how close the Rams got. The Rams got the ball down to the 13-yard line with a minute 14 to go, down 6. They were 14 yards away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles on the road in the playoffs. Like, that team should believe they still got some gas left in the tank. But if they're going to trade Stafford, then they're not just going to draft a guy, I don't think. I think Darnold is the one that makes sense. Maybe that goes back to, just did McVay like him in the original draft process? And that he did just play in a McVay-style system. Kevin O'Connell comes from the Sean McVay tree. And playing in that environment in Minnesota might make McVay think, okay, he kind of already knows my offense. And he is, what, 10 years younger than Stafford is. So if they're going to move off of him, to me, that is Darnold. But that is, just went through the whole league. That's almost a third of the league where you can reasonably say today, I don't really know who their starting quarterback is week one. A third of the league. And tell me if I'm wrong, there are not enough dance partners. You know, there's too many, this offseason there might be too many chairs, not enough people to sit in them. 9 openings. And I've got Stafford, Darnold. I've got, you want to count Fields maybe as one of these guys. Then you've got Cam Ward. You've got Shedeur Sanders. You've got, who's the other? Jackson Dart is the other one that I'm missing, right? I'll give you Jackson Dart. I'll give you Fields. And that's only 6. Basically, what I'm getting to here is there's going to be 3 or 4 guys starting beginning of the year that you don't really think of as a starter anymore. Oh, Rodgers. You should count Rodgers, right? Rodgers. Maybe there are enough spots for Rodgers. Maybe there are enough teams that are going to need quarterback, and there are not enough good ones to fill those spots because it's not a great draft class for it, and free agency is pretty thin if Darnold especially doesn't make it. That if I'm a team that has a guy like Darnold or Stafford, like I'm making sure I'm cashing out because I've got a market here. And if I'm Rodgers, you know, maybe I'm not retiring because I think there's enough teams that need a guy that I'm going to find one. 803-0550 is the phone number, the quarterback picture in the league, as that becomes a little bit more clear now that, you know, all the teams and reporters and meet league people are all together in Indy for the next couple of days. Workouts begin today with defensive linemen. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to the Bills, of course. Look at some of the contract situations that they have. We'll talk some hockey, though, and some golf next with Brian Koziel. So stay tuned for that. It's Jeremy and Joe. Open your phone calls at 803-0550 if you want to get in. This is WGR.
Far circle, Quinn gets it back again. Shot's not there. Joki Haru scored from here in the tournament. Scores! He did it again!
Operation 10 straight, looking to advance again tonight. Big night. Pins and needles. Right? Everybody's pins and needles.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm engaged. I'm invested. I was stressed at the end of that Ducks game. I'm sure I'll be stressed at some points during this game.
Yeah, what's not to be, you know, invested in? Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I am live from home. Thursdays I'm at home. I've been working on my setup. I got a fancy mic now. What do you think? You like it?
I do like it. Yeah, it's not bad. It's fancier. Very professional looking.
Yes, thanks to our engineer, Al, who came out and installed it for me.
We get some good lighting in the room in there, it looks like.
I'm working on, you know, the lighting. Yeah. We got to work on that. It's no, you know, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport's books behind them. There's no mini
shelf.
Football, anything like that. I haven't gotten into a fist fight with Jordan Schultz, so I'm still working on my street cred out here, you know, doing what I can. Anyway, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Brian Koziel is set to join us on the Western Hotline. Do we have Brian ready to rock? For some Sabres and for also T to Green's debut. Brian joins us on the Western Hotline ahead of what is hopefully the Sabres' third consecutive win. Brian, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning.
How do you feel about subscribing to Operation 10 Straight Wins to get the Sabres back in the mix here? Because they've got a lot of work to do, and I know Lindy's got that plan out of, you know, 7 out of every 10 points. I like Operation 10 Straight because I feel like it adequately expresses just how difficult it will be to get back in. But we can also have fun with it because, you know, they are playing much better of late.
They definitely are. And why not get greedy, right? I mean, they need to after what has been some bad points and, of course, the low point of that 13-game winless streak during the season. You know, out of all these teams that are in the wild card race, other than Detroit, the Sabres have been playing the best out of any of them. So they have gained ground overall, even though you still sit there and look and say, well, they're still 11 back. That's kind of what they've been for basically the last month. But they're creeping closer to a clump of teams that they can pass, and the games in hand can give you some more excitement about maybe them over the next week or so passing 2, 3, 4 teams. So that piece is in there. But, you know, beyond the fact of how maybe small the probability it actually is that they can really move up a lot here, if you're just watching this team, they do look better. And a lot of the deficiencies from earlier in the season that people were getting frustrated by watching this team, they seem to have solved a decent amount of them. And that includes how to handle the end of games. We know this year they've been incredible at first periods, but they've been terrible finishing games, whether it's been holding on to a lead or maybe trying to get that elusive tying goal to force overtime. They haven't been good at that at all, but they've been figuring out ways to be much better in the third period. I feel like any time there's been any sort of adversity or pressure on them late in games over the last month or so, they've handled it much better. Lindy Ruff the other night, I know fans are probably sick of hearing this, but he said, look, I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it. The growth from this team of how they're able to handle adversity is much better than what it was. Unfortunately, you know, they're 56 games in, and some will say, well, you needed to figure that out 5 years ago. So I get it. I understand why still, you know, ultimately it's a results-oriented business and they're sitting there and laugh. But the 10-in-a-row thing could definitely get them back in it. Gotten some help from Ottawa, who's fallen back. There's just so many teams that they're going to need to play 500 or worse hockey for this to happen that, to me, I feel like that is almost more what feels like impossible than it actually is maybe what you're hoping for, which is for Buffalo to win 10 in a row. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think the likelihood of that is higher than maybe all of these teams playing at their current clip or worse in order for this to happen, for Buffalo to maybe actually get to that second wild card spot.
Yeah, it won't work if Ottawa wins 9 in a row at the same time the Sabres win their next 8 in a row. So that's right. It is whatever. It's a tall task, and you know, it's not lost on me that 13-game losing streak. Brian, I think let me back up. I think there's one thing people are afraid of, and that's that they actually finish well and miss by 5 points, and then kind of sit still and act like, well, it was one bad month really that did it, and Dahlin was out, so we should have been a playoff team. I mean, Sabres fans are going to want action, of course, and they're not going to want them to just kind of sit back and accept another season that ultimately is a lost one.
I think the Dahlin point is very, very underrated and under-talked about, Jeremy. I think you're right. They were awful when he was out. Their record, points percentage-wise, when he plays, I know would be good enough for them to be right in the race or in the postseason. I know, you know, Paul has said it to you guys, if you take out that 13-game winless streak and take the points percentage from the games in front and the games behind, they'd be in the playoffs. So There's something to be said of having Dahlin out of the lineup. That what a huge impact that had on this team. You know, I think overall, besides Dahlin, yes, they lost Tage for a couple of games, but they were able to handle it well. I know Lindy Ruff thinks Jordan Greenway's return is going to be a big impact. We know he seems to be a guy that really kind of brings that toughness and that energy and that willingness to go to the net that kind of, I would say, motivates the rest of the team to do the same. So he's been a pleasant surprise since returning, even though he's not a huge point producer, but I know that the team and Lindy Ruff really values his return. I mean, you look at what you want here, 10 in a row. Tonight could maybe be the night that if you can get it, you could start to believe it, because they've got games upcoming that maybe you'd say are gettable. There's one team that you have to pass at some point, and that's Montreal. Well, you've got them for a home-and-home this weekend. You'd like to think you can beat them. Montreal's a minus 24 goals against. They haven't been playing great as of late. They've only won 3 of their last 10. You have the Sharks after that, who aren't good. So tonight's a tough one. I think if you get tonight, well, now you're on 3. I feel like I could see 6 or 7 very quickly here coming if they're able to get this tonight. I think this is a building. They're very, very bad, and I think they're winless in their last 8. I want to say 0-6-2, I saw a stat, is their last 8. So they don't play great in Carolina. Carolina has been playing very good this year. They're in a battle with New Jersey right now for 2nd, so in the Metro. So if you get tonight, I could see maybe where your operation 10 in a row here, maybe we could have a real conversation about it.
It's just it needs a little more belief. Joe, I don't want to jump on you. I felt like you had something to say there. Because I have a trivia question about this that I feel like you would have had for us, which is...
I was looking, like, I wanted to know, when's the last time they won in Carolina?
The last Sabres goalie to win a game in Carolina is...
Oh, this is going
to
be good. Chad Johnson.
That is correct.
Wow.
What is wrong with you?
How did you get 8 seasons? You know, it's in like an estimation of that time period.
That's right.
And he was here twice.
Just throwing a name out there, but Chad Johnson. Yeah. Wow,
Chad Johnson.
Yeah. Good, very good call. Anyway, all right. Well, we've got the Sabres and Canes tonight, Brian. We also got you on to talk about a little golf because Tee to Green returns this week, which you know, snow's melting and we're getting closer to golf season, and you guys are ready to fire it up.
Yeah, we're super pumped. This is the first of consecutive shows. I think we have 28 consecutive weeks upcoming here of Tee to Green on Saturday morning, starting at 7. We go all the way through the NFL season. So when Tee to Green's done, the Bills will be ready to kick things off. We're going to be at Golf Dojo this week, their Niagara Falls Boulevard location. And then we're going to be across a whole bunch of golf courses, a lot of our usual stops, some new ones this year, and golf facilities across Western New York. Every Saturday morning, 7 to 8 on WGR right here. So we're looking forward to getting it going. If you haven't tuned in before, myself, Kevin Sylvester, who works PGA Tour Radio, gets a lot of good insight on the PGA Tour. Our PGA pro, Jeff Medes, really, really does a great job breaking down people's swing. He's always got a good opinion on things. Our Jeff Blank will be contributing to us on social media. He does a lot if you're into betting on golf, which is fun to do because you can do it each day. He does all of our social media work at TDG Buffalo. So the whole team's back. We're really excited about it. And hope everybody can start tuning in on Saturday mornings.
And one topic, guys will have going forward is there's been plenty of talk about the reunification of golf and, you know, the belief that it's very, very close. It has not happened yet. I don't know if you've heard anything of the latest or any sort of timeline, but we're all kind of waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, there's been some other indications that maybe it's close. Brooks Koepka was at the TGL at a TGL match this week, and it seems as though that the players that maybe used to separate themselves from being seen together are now making a little bit more public appearances. I mean, there was one social media post from a golf report that said that Bryson DeChambeau his contract with LIV is up and that he's looking to come back to the PGA Tour and is hoping that part of this reunification thing is that it can be next season. So that might be something to keep an eye on at some point. It sounds like the sides are softening. They want to work together. They know they need to with the money. Ultimately, again, this, you know, as we've said before, this all comes down to money and making it work. But I mean, they're meeting with the White House to see if government-wise this can work, and that, you know, if the Attorney General is not going to look at this merger possibly and say that this can't happen. So it seems as though It's finally coming here very shortly. We should get an announcement, I would think, at some point soon. I think in the end, we all just want to see, you know, the Koepkas and the DeChambeaus playing against the Schefflers and the McIlroys of the world more often than just the four majors a year, because it's great drama. I mean, last year, I know we talked about it a lot, when DeChambeau and McIlroy were going at it at the U.S. Open, I mean, that was, I know the three of us, we were debating, and the next morning was, you know, when's the last time a golf tournament was that good? So hopefully we're going to be seeing it. I would expect that we're going to get more and more details soon. I know they're just legally waiting to get everything approved before they can make an announcement.
Very good.
This week in the PGA Tour is a better field than last week?
Yeah, it's not an elevated event. It's a little bit better. It's down in West Palm Beach, PGA West, the Cognizant Classic. It was the Honda Classic forever. They just changed sponsors here over the last year or so. Jordan Spieth, maybe the biggest name playing, although he hasn't been playing still very as consistent as he wants to. He says his wrist is still bothering him that he's had issues with. Shane Lowry is playing in this tournament. He's been playing well as of late. Billy Horschel, who lives close, is playing in this tournament. So, you know, I would say it's a better field than last week's Mexico Open, which was a fun playoff, even though it was probably two players that nobody had ever heard of last week when Brian Campbell won. But I don't know if you guys saw it.
Brian, I was dialed into that playoff with some betting interests.
It hit the tree and then came back in. We've all had that break go our way at least once in our lives, I'm sure.
Well, before that, in the first playoff hole, the Podgy? I can't remember the other guy that was in the playoff. He hits it in the stands on hole one, right? And, like, near it and survives. Like, it didn't feel like you were getting the two best golfers in the world that were going at it.
Yeah, I mean, Campbell's been around forever. He made more money just in the Mexico Open than he did his entire career, like over 150 starts. You know, I always used to, you know, kind of maybe just whatever when a guy like that has a chance to win. And more when I realize what a life-changing event it is for the individual, like, I love rooting for something like that. And I know people are like, well, I never heard of him. Like, I'm not invested. But, like, I was rooting hard for Campbell to win there just because I know that, like, it changes his life. He's got his card now for the next 2 years to play every event of the PGA Tour that he wants. He gets into the Masters. He gets into all the majors. So, I mean, the fact that he's been playing for years and years and years, lost his card, had to go back to the Korn Ferry Tour, and then, you know, he basically knows he lost the golf tournament. He hit what looked like on Shot Tracer like a bad slice, like you or I would hit. And it hits the trees, and it hits the cart path, and it ends up back in play. And then he hits his third shot on the par five, like, to 3 feet, and ends up winning it. So, pretty, pretty cool story. A great shot of him and his girlfriend. Like, his girlfriend ran out, and they had a great look on the green of them embracing. So, yeah, it was a fun story, but a little bit more recognizable field this week if you tune in and watch it.
Thank you, Brian. We'll be listening to Tee to Green.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
A good sign. Golf season is around the corner. Tee to Green is back on Saturday mornings here on WGR. 803-0550 is our phone number if you want to chime in on you know, the Sabres. Operation 10 straight. Carolina is going to be a tough one. Joe, 2 wins ago in Sabres at Carolina history is 2014.
Wow. Is that the tank? Or the year before?
Boy, what happened? Gerby scored, I guess. He was all over the ice, and
was probably the year before then.
Yeah, I mean, Enroth, that's the one, I think, where they're trying to make a rush to get in, and they just miss that
year. 14 is either...
That's pre-tank. Oh, no, you're right.
But that's the Reinhardt year, and they're really bad also.
Yeah.
There's two. Yeah, 14 is going to involve a dead last team.
This is 2013-14. It's early. It's October 14th of 2014. They won in a shootout. So that's 2 wins ago on the road in Carolina. The last one was 2016.
Yeah, not a building that I like to think about previous games in.
No, not at all.
Just for other reasons, too.
Sal checks in at 7 o'clock from the Combine with the latest. Jeremy and Joe, we've got more big names out there in the NFL world. And the biggest story in the NFL world, I can't decide if the NFL wants us to believe it, even though it's kind of not really what everybody thinks it is. This Hawkeye technology... lie is a little strong for me, Joe, but you have to explain to me why everyone is intentionally missing what is actually happening. Every NFL insider seems to be spinning it a way that it's not. I can't understand why. You can tell me if you want. That's coming up here on WGR. Okay, Jeremy and Joe back here on WGR. Gene Hackman has passed away.
Yeah, what a tragic story that is right now.
Yeah.
There aren't really a lot of details yet, but...
Not yet, but it's not just him. It's him and his wife have passed away.
And his dog.
Okay, so people are going to wonder and start to... Yeah, piece together maybe what happened there. Gene Hackman, my favorite Gene Hackman movie. Hoosiers is up there. Hoosiers is amazing. Yeah. I mean, Hoosiers, come on.
Yeah, I've never
Hoosiers and Crimson Tide and The State are the first three that come. Enemy of the State are the first three that come to mind.
Yeah, I'll have to say I've never seen any of those three movies.
Oh man, you should see them all. Superman comes to mind.
Superman.
Yeah.
Me and Josh coursed on our go-to Gene Hackman movie would be The Replacements.
Yeah.
Underrated football
where
movie.
He is the head coach. Probably not the movie that he will be remembered for, I would think, though.
No, I don't think so. No. The Firm. Oh, man, look at that.
I keep seeing The French Connection listed as, like, the first movie.
I've never seen The French Connection.
That's the 70s.
Yeah. Mississippi Burning is one I remember.
Yeah.
I forgot Superman. He was Lex Luthor in Superman.
And of course he voices one of the voice in Ants.
Right.
Big movie in my childhood growing up, Ants.
Who did he voice in Ants?
Mandible?
One of the grasshoppers?
I don't know who that is actually. I don't remember which one Mandible is.
Look at you guys.
Yeah,
you
Ants kids. In The Replacements.
All right. 803-0550, our phone number. We have a Sabres game tonight. Sal from the Combine coming up top of the hour. We'll get the latest on what's going on there. The biggest thing that happened there is the apparent near fight between Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport. That, of course, stems from a Tom Brady report.
Of course it does.
Of course it did.
Yeah, we got to get back into Brady a little bit on this because I think he's up to something again. The guy who's been involved in all three scandals that have cost a team a first-round pick in NFL history, there might be some funny business going on with Brady.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, we're right back in the world of his agent Don Yee telling us, "Oh no, that didn't happen." Which, I mean, I'm flashing back to Deflategate, which I forget. I saw an interview recently with Jay Cutler about Deflategate and blah, blah, blah. And the story there, of course, with deflating the footballs is that Brady lied to the NFL and hid things from the NFL. That's why he got suspended, because he hid things from the NFL rather than just say, like, oh, yeah, we did that, which would have been not a big deal. Anyway, Brady meets Matthew Stafford. Oh, I loved Rappaport's reporting on this. Just like many high-profile athletes, they have a place on a mountain. Okay. It just happened to be on the same mountain in Montana. Okay. Yeah, he didn't host him. Anyway, good times. Good times. Good to have Tom Brady back, a person you should always believe what he says and always believe the reporting around him. Whatever, we can have fun with it. Sal on the other side will check in on all things Bills, some of the moves out there in terms of who's able to seek trades. And the Bills, of course, are talking to every defensive lineman on earth. You are starting to see the trend that we all probably would have expected, that's what they are targeting the most at the Combine, it would appear. So we'll check in with Sal and take some phone calls from you if you'd like as well. 803-0550 on WGR.